Begin the current daf. Masech the side the daf test. We begin on the bottom of the chesam beis, three lines up at the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara continues a brisa that was following on the theme of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing this concept relating to specifically the saita, but in general it's on haga, how what a person interfaces with this world, how what he does is exactly what comes back to him, which is called b'midush ha'demaydid b'maydinaysay. It's reflective of what you do is exactly the consequences, both for good, both for bad, and as we'll see, is the same thing for the good. So the brisa continues relative to our topic in this masechta is v'chei metzina b'saita. So too we find regarding this adulterous woman, shebemida shemaduda, regarding the measurements, how she acted, b'madudu law, it's in that same context, the same definition, how she gets acted towards, as follows. He amda al pesach beisa li roisle. She stood out in the open by the entry of her house to make herself visible to the man that she was trying to engage with. So lafikach kain mamid al shar nikonor. So therefore, the kain stands there by the gate of nikonor. Umar kain lakol, and here her embarrassment is visible for all. So again, in the same context, what she was doing, showing herself off, where she wanted one thing, now it's in a totally different light, but the same idea, where now everyone gets to see her, but in a degrading way. He personally sudar noin al raisha. She covered with beautiful kerchiefs over her head as a way of seductive for the man. Lefikach kain neitel kipa me al raisha. So therefore, that's what kain takes off her head covering, off of her head. Umanicha tachas reglaha and puts it underneath her feet. He kashta le paneha. She adorned. She put makeup all over her face. Lefikach. Therefore, as we continue on top of Testament Aleph, paneha meirikas. So that's why her face becomes pale. And as we learn later on, where she doesn't even yet finish the drinking, and her face already gets sallow, her eyes start bulging out, which is related to the next idea, where he kalchala layinaha, she painted her eyes, meaning she had this eyeshadow, and lefikachinaha beltas, and therefore her eyes bulge out. He kalchala yasara, she braided her hair in the dormant for this man, lefikach kain saysa, that's how the kain undoes the braiding of her hair. He harasa layba'atzba, she moved with her fingers, she alluded to him to come to her by using her finger. That's where her fingernails fall off. He she adorned herself, she tied her belt around herself in a beautiful way. That's where the kain brings this rope, this low type of a rope, and it ties it above her breast. He she stretched out her thigh to receive him. That's why her thighs collapse. He kibalta al kresa. She received him on her belly. That's why her belly expands and blows up. He chalasa madoni olim. She fed him all the delicacies of the world. That's why her carbon is actually animal food, which is of barley, where generally the menaches are usually made out of chita, out of wheat. He hishkasuhu yain meshubach b'kais meshubachim. This man that she was unfaithful with, she gave him to drink the best wine and the most beautiful, exquisite types of vessels. Lafikach kain mashke mayim hamarim. That's why the kain gives her to drink the bitter waters. B'mekidah shalcharis, in the most degrading and low types of vessels that there is, made out of earthenware. He asa sabaseisa. She did this in concealment. So as the pasuk says, so the yeshu b'seisir elyon, reference to Hashem, the one who dwells in the uppermost seclusion. Samba upon him, he places his face in her, meaning, as we find from Sukkim, where Besamta Anias Panai or Benasati Panai, it means that Hashem pays all his attention to punish that person, where Hashem is taking away his attention from everything else, and just to punish this woman. Shlemaka says, a pasuk in Eiv, says, Ve'ein noyev shamra neshef lemer, that the eye of the adulterer looks towards the night, saying, Lo tishureini ayin, that the eye will not behold me. Whereas the pasuk concludes over there, but Beseser, actually the one who is hidden, a reference to Hashem, Panim Yasim actually will put all his attention towards punishing that person, Mugayim, etc. Dava Acher, another source for this, is he asasa Beseser, that she did what she did with this man in seclusion, and Hamakim Pirsim Abugali, and actually that Hashem reveals it out for everyone. Hashem, like it says, a pasuk in Mishlei, Tichase Sina. That is someone that conceals something that's hated by Hashem, b'mashoyin, in the darkness, tigala rasa bakal, the person's evil will be revealed to the population, to the people. Now, the Gemara wonders, which concludes the discussion that was mentioned on the previous daf, u'me'achar de'nafkele, once we know, me'achas la'achas limtzei cheshbon, from the pasuk that we brought, that one by one that will add up to a calculation, which told us the idea that every little thing that's done is not overlooked. It's just not being punished right away, but it's going to add up. So kikol soin soin barash, or the other pasuk that we brought in the previous daf, which says that every measurement is measured with a loud noise, which comes to teach us that even small little sins get punished. So lamali, what do I need that pasuk for if I already know that from the other pasuk me'achas la'achas, which says that everything is calculated, it's just not going to be at one time. So now the Gemara says l'kamida, where it's necessary to say from the pasuk of kikol soin, adds on this idea that it's not just that you get punished for every little thing that you do, but it's exactly how you did it. In that same way, well, the punishment will be exactly in the same type of a context as the sin that was done. Which actually, there were many people that would be able to understand what they had done wrong when they see what is done to them. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, regarding one of the other psukim that was brought, which were they all teaching this idea of b'midah sha'adam ma'idi bab ma'id na'isai, so me'achar de'nafkele mechi kol soin soin barash, so if we already learned from the pasuk that every measurement, even like it said, tarkiv or kav or reivakav, even the smallest type of measurements are going to be exactly midah keneged midah, exactly the way it's done, is going to be meted out the punishment. So the b'sasa b'shilcha t'riven olamali, so why do we need the first pasuk that was brought in that b'raisa, which said that the saw, the measurement that the person does, that's how the person is going to get that in return. If you already know even smaller things you get exactly, why do you have to say the bigger things? So I think my answer is you're right. The primary chiddush of that pasuk is actually teaching a different drasha. Yes, incidentally, it does teach us this concept, but the main point is look at the Rav Chinna bar Papa. The Rav Chinna bar Papa, he says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'umah." HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give a punishment from a people, from a nation, atshash shilucha, until the time is to send it away, to totally obliterate it from this world. Shnetman, in contrast to the Jewish people, are constantly suffering because, as we'll see shortly, we don't want them to totally be decimated. But other nations, Hashem lets them sin until, boom, you're done and you're out of the picture. Hashem, like it says in the pasuk, they recorded b'sa'asa b'shilcha v'gaymer, which is when they filled their sa' and you're totally full, and then it's moved out of the picture. Now, that thing we're asked, is that really so, that when a nation doesn't get punished from Hashem besides the Jewish people until they finally finish their things and then they're done? But V'amar Rava said, Shleisha Kaisis Hamuris B'Mitzrayim, regarding the three cups of wine that are referenced regarding the Egyptian people, which is in the well-known story of the Sar HaMashkim, when Yosef saw the two dreams of the one that was in charge of giving the drinks to Paroi. So there were three cups that were mentioned over there. So Rava says, Lama, what are they allusions to in regards to the Egyptian people? So they reference to three times that the Egyptian people suffered blows. One's in days of Moshe, obviously, as we know, the famous story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when they got all the 10 makis and so on. And the other one is the cup that they drank, meaning that they got the punishment in the days of Paranachai, who the Nebuchadnezzar came, he was the king of Babel, to destroy Mitzrayim. And the third cup that they're going to drink, meaning of punishment, is going to be with all the other nations of the world that harmed the Jewish people in the days of Mashiach. Now, so therefore the question of the Gemara is, obviously we see that there are nations, like in this case Egypt, that didn't have just one blow which totally takes them out of the picture, that they had three different times that they're going to be harmed. So, and the Gemara addresses and says, and if you're going to say that, no, as we said before, that a nation doesn't get punished until it's totally out of the picture, and we see that Egypt got it three times, actually the first time was totally decimated. And the first Egyptians are out of the picture. And these other two times they were saying that the land of Egypt is going to suffer is actually people from other nations that came to Egypt and settled over there. They're the ones that are going to suffer, but really they're different people because when the Ummah gets punished by Hashem, it totally wipes them out. But another Gemara says, you can't say that because of a time in the Braisa, as we'll see that after what happened by Moshe Rabbeinu in times of Mitzrayim, those Mitzrayim, which the Torah references, were still around years later. As we learn in the Braisa Amr Behuda, he says, Minyamin ger ha-Mitzri. Minyamin, that's his name, was an Egyptian convert, meaning he was an Egyptian from that Ummah converted to Judaism. So he says, Hoyli chaver mitamid Rabbi Akiva. He was my friend, my colleague from the students of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Amma min yomid ger mitzri. He quoted from his friend, this Egyptian convert, that said, Ani mitzri rishon. He says, I'm a first generation convert, meaning he himself converted. Benesasi mitzris rishon. And I married an Egyptian woman that converted to Judaism. Now, Asi levni mitzris shni. He says that I'm going to marry off my son to a second generation Egyptian convert. In other words, a girl that was born to an Egyptian male and female converts, which makes her into a second generation Gieris. And the reason why I'm going to do that is Kadesh she abend mini, so that my grandson should be a third generation, which will be Mutr Lovi Bakal, as we find in the Psukim, where the third generation of an Egyptian convert is allowed to marry in and marry a Jewish woman. Whereas the Pasuk says in Dvar Mechav Gimel, it says, Bon Mashi Yivoldu Lahem. That means to say that the third generation, which says that could come into the Kal Hashem, has to be on all fronts. In other words, if let's say he would marry off his son, who is a second generation Egyptian convert, to an Egyptian woman that herself converted, which is called Mitzvah Rishayna, then actually their son would be a second generation, because it would go after the mother, as the Gemara learns in Masechtas Yevamos and Kedushin, where it says, Ban Mashi Yivoldu Lahem, it goes after either one of them. If either one of them is a worse off in the sense of coming closer to Judaism, we go after that one. Now, what we see from this is that obviously Binyamin, who was years later, was considered an Egyptian, because regarding other nations, even if they live in Egypt, they're permitted to enter into the Jewish people and marry a Jewish woman right away. Now, one thing Rashi points out is obviously that Binyamin didn't hold of this that's taught in Masechtas Brachas of Chaf Chesem and Aleph, that actually even Amon and Moav and Mitzriim, they're permitted to come into the Jewish people right away, because Sancheiv came and mixed up all the different nations. And actually, as Rashi brings to the Tosefta in Kedushin that quotes this, after that the statement of Binyamin is mentioned, Rabbi Kiva said to him that Binyamin, you made a mistake, because Sancheiv already came and mixed up everything. But one thing we see is obviously he was a Mitzri, where even though this is years later, so we can't say that it was different people. So therefore the Gemara says, you're right, that it can't be that when a nation gets punished from Hashem, it's just one and they're totally out of the picture. As we see by Egyptians, it was in three different times. As we see, Binyamin was still considered from the biblical Mitzri, and that's why I had to wait till the third generation. Rather, if this statement was said, it was said as follows, that Amar b'chinda bar papa ina kadosh baruch hu nifra min hamelach. Kadosh baruch hu does not collect, so to speak, from a king, meaning punish him, at shashilucha, until the time is to get rid of him. Shnema, like it says in the pasuk, b'sasa b'shilcha to revenge the begayim, where it's time to get rid of, where a melech is equal to the whole nation, that's when he punishes from the king, but not small little punishments along the way. Now, Amimer Masni Lahadra of Chinabar Papa, he taught this same concept, but on a different pasuk, where Maidach Siv, what does it mean, the pasuk of Malachi, that says, Ki ani Hashem lo yishanisi, I am Hashem, who the literal translation usually translates as, I don't change. V'at b'nei Yaakov lo yichlisim, and you, the children of Yaakov, I have not liquidated, I have not killed you out. So the way he interprets it is, ani Hashem lo yishanisi, I am Hashem, I don't repeat myself, I don't double things. In other words, lo hikisi lo uma v'yishanisi la, which was the first version that we had of the statement, which we said we bring on a different pasuk, which is, I don't smite a nation and then do it over again, meaning I let them do what they want, they're done with their sins, and then Hashem wipes them out. Whereas you, the Jewish people, are very much different. I don't liquidate you. And Hainin Dechsev, that's what it says in the pasuk in Devarim, that Chitzai Achalabam, Hashem says, oh, am I really going to give these Jewish people persecution? My arrows are going to be finished with them. In other words, but the understanding is that there's a silver lining here. Chitzai Kalim, Hashem says, I will use up all my arrows on them, meaning my blows will end, but Vehein Einin Kalim, but the Jewish people will not end. And that is, although we see all the other people not suffering, that's because time comes and they're out, the Jewish people will always remain, and that's why we get paid back, little by little, for things that we can pay back, and not that the Jewish people, Chas Shalom, get liquidated. Amar Rav Avnuna, he says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaAdam, Hashem does not collect from the sins of a person, Acha Tismali Sase, until he fills up his measurement, and that is, he gets out of this world what he wants, meaning all his evil. Shnema, like it says, the Pasuk in Eiv, V'mlois sifkoi, when he fills up all his desires, then Yitzhaloi V'goyim, then is when the tsaris start, all the pain, all the difficulty starts coming, meaning when you got what you want, and Hashem says, okay, now you get paid back. Now another Drasha Darsha B'chin Nubar Papa, that we mentioned him before, Maidach said, what does it mean the passing in Tehillim? Rananu Tzadikim, sing, O righteous, Bashem in Hashem, La'isharim, for the upright, Novas Hila, it's fitting praise. So he darshans, he expounds on this, and he says, Altikri Novas Hila, don't say that for the upright, it's appropriate for them praise, Ela Nevei Sehila. Rather, Nevei is a term of an abode, of a house. Rather, in regards to the houses that they build, it's appropriate yahaluluku to have praise. What is that a reference to? Zeh Moshe b'David is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech, who both built abodes, nevei, bayis for Hashem, that is appropriate to say Tehillah on that, because shalei sholtus einem b'maseihem, that their enemies didn't have any rule, wasn't able to go and get what they had made, meaning to have any pleasure from their houses of worship that they made for Hashem. Where David, like David, as we find the pasuk in Eicha, where previously the pasuk said that Chishav Hashem lahashchis chemes b'tzion, Hashem thought to destroy the walls of Tzion, and on that it says Tavu ba'aret shoreha, that her gates sank into the earth, where Mitzudas Tzion, which is referencing over there, that fortress is a reference to Ir David and his house, which, as it says in Shmuel Beis Perek Hey, that when the enemy came in the days of Tzidkiyahu, the gates, the doors of the gates, which were made out of copper or of silver and gold, that so that the enemy shouldn't be able to take them and plunder and take them with them, it actually sank into the ground. So that's a nava of Sehila. It's an abode of praise that the enemy didn't get to take it and plunder and pillage that. And Moshe, we find the same thing regarding the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made. The Amamar, like the master said, Mishnah Nivna Mikdash Rishon, when the first temple, the first place of Mikdash was built, Nignas Oil Moed. So then the Oil Moed, which was the tent of assembly that Moshe Rabbeinu would go in, and which was basically the base of Mikdash in the Midbar, that was then concealed, which was Karashav, which was the beams, Karasav, the hooks, the Berichav, the bars, Vamudav, and the pillars, Vadonav, and the sockets, which the Karashav were put into. All those parts of the Mishkan were hidden away, and the enemy wasn't able to get it. Although at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, they wasn't around anymore. Now Heichel, where was it concealed? So Amrav Chizda, Amrav Imi, says Tachas Mechila Shel Heichel, underneath the caves. There was a whole labyrinth of caves beneath the Heichel, the sanctuary of the Beis Hamikdash. Beneath those caves was hidden the Oil Moed. Continuing on the theme that we had in the previous daf, turn upon within the Braisa. Saita Nosna Ineha B'Misha Inu Rola. What happened is that this adulterous woman, she put her eyes, meaning she desired things which didn't belong to her, which was another man. So what happens is, Masha Bikshaloi Nitinla, what she desired, she doesn't get, meaning she actually becomes forbidden to the Baal, to the man that she was being unfaithful with. Umasha Beyad Natlu Mena, and what she did have gets taken away from her, which is, if, for example, if she drinks the water, then she ends up dying. And if she admits her guilt, so she becomes forbidden to her husband, and she loses her ksuba too. Where, as we know, this halacha from Benitma three times, which is that she becomes aslabal, aslabal, and becomes forbidden to truma. And the lesson of this is shekol anoisin einav b'masha einishle, because anyone that puts his eyes, which means to say that you desire and you try to attain things which are not his, masha mevakish einoisin eloi, what he desires he doesn't get, umasha b'yod neitleman, and even what you do have gets taken away. Because you can only be you. When you try to be someone else or get other things which are not part of you, you're not you and you're not that thing either. As we continue on to Amud Beis, V'chein Metzina B'Nachash HaKad Moini, we find the same thing by the primordial snake, where he desired Chava, the wife of Adam, and he actually cohabited with her. And that's what it says in the pasuk in Bereishis Perek Gimel HaNachash Hesiyani. She says that it was the snake that enticed me to eat from the Eitz Hadas, which the word Hisiyani is related to the idea of cohabitation, which is the word of nisuin, of marriage, which is always about having tashmish, about consummating that relationship. So he placed his eyes where it wasn't fitting, meaning Chava was not meant for him. So mashabikish le nitinloi, what he wanted he didn't get. And even what he did have, which was unlike all the other animals in the animal kingdom, which was an erect posture, he was actually standing upright like a human, was taken away from him. And Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani amarti he melech al kol behemah b'chaya. I said that the snake was going to be the king over all domesticated and wild animals. And that's why the pasuk says he was Ar Mikol. He was the most wise and understanding animal of all of them. But v'achshav aruhu mikol abeim umikol chayis esada. Now, exactly the opposite, he's actually the most cursed of all the animals and wild animals in the field. Moreover, ani amarti yahalach b'kum eskuva, I said that it should go with an erect pasture. Achshav agachayne yelach. Now, the opposite is that he's going to go slither along on his belly. Where we know this from the curse, as Rashi says, all the ideas mentioned over here is, since we see in the pasuk all the curses that the snake got, obviously is that up until now he had the opposite and now he's losing it because he tried to get what wasn't his. Ani amarti hei macholi machol adam, I said he's going to eat the same food that humans eat. Achshav ofa yoichol, now he eats the exact opposite, now he eats dust. Hu oma erig es adam es es chava, he said, the snake to himself, that I'm going to kill Adam, I'm going to have him killed and I'm going to marry his wife Chava. Achshav, now it's the opposite. Eva oshes bein chol bein neisha. The snake was told that I'm going to put an enmity, a hatred, between you and between the woman. Uvein zarach, uvein zara, between your progeny of the snake and between her children. People stay very far away from snakes. And this concept that we mentioned about desiring what's not yours and then you end up losing what you have is v'chem etzin. But Cain, we find the same thing by the first children, Cain and Hevel, where Cain, he saw that his brother Hevel, meaning how did they proliferate, how did they have children if there was only Cain and Hevel, each one was born with a twin sister. Now, however, his brother Hevel was actually born with a double twin sister, where, as the pasuk says, es ochiv, es Hevel, his brother that was Hevel, where the word es is a ribui, and it says it two times, which means to say that he was born with an extra twin sister, and Cain was jealous of that, and not only did he not get that extra sister, he was actually chased out from where he was, and he was nabanot. He was had to be constantly wandering. And he was actually killed by one of his grandchildren. The Kairach, we find by Kairach that was jealous about the kahuna, which Aaron HaKohen had. And what ended up happening is, he not only did he not get that, he was actually swallowed up in the ground. Ubilam, or he was jealous of the money of Balak, Melech Moav, and he did that to get the money to curse the Jewish people. And he was killed in Midian when he went to actually get his payment for the demise of 24,000 of the Jewish people, which were killed because of his counsel saying, oh, you want to get the Jewish people? Seduce them with the women. So he wanted that money. Not only did he not get that, he actually lost his life. Vidayig, who he was a great person, he was from the greatest of the students, who is jealous of David because he saw David was very understanding and was beautiful and he was able to understand halacha lamaisa. So as the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, he, as the Agudah in Perek Achelik and Masechta Sanhedrin, interprets the whole pasuk that he said over there as derogatory. He was saying lashon hara about David. He was jealous, and so too Va'achi Teifel, who he wanted to get the malucha to become king, as the Gemara says also in Perek Achelik, where he saw a fire coming out of his male member and he thought that meant that he's going to be royalty. And what ended up happening was both Doig and Achi Teifel were lo yechzi mehem. They didn't live out half their lives. They died before age 35. The Gehazi, who he wanted the money of Naaman, and he ended up getting Tzaras. Vav Shalom, as we'll see, the son of David, who he desired more than what he was supposed to get. He wanted to become king, and he actually ended up losing his life. Vadoinayahu, who was also a son of David, who went and took the maidservant of David, which was Avishag, and he ended up getting killed. Vuziyahu, who wanted the kahuna, and he ended up getting tzaras coming out on his forehead. Bahaman, as we know very well from the story of the Megillah, who he wanted to kill the Jewish people, and not only didn't get what he wanted, he ended up actually losing his life, and all his children are getting hung. All these people, they desired things which weren't fitting for them, weren't coming to them. So what they desired, they didn't get. And even what they did have already was taken away from them. Now the Mishnah said that b'yerach hischila ba'avera, that the woman first sinned with her thighs, and therefore the first thing that suffers is mentioned in the suffering are her thighs. Now the Gemara says, where do we know this concept from? So the Gemara says, ilei mishum nechziv, if it's because like the pasuk says in Mamidbar, b'seisa shemes yirechich nefelas, that the kohen who's warning the woman says that you're going to get this curse that Hashem is going to place in your thighs that are going to fall. And that your stomach is going to bloat and pop. So we see that the first thing is the thighs and then the stomach, because as we said, that's the first thing she sins with when she cohabits with him. But there's a pasuk that says later on, it says that her stomach bloats, and then her thighs fall. So Amar Abaye, Abaye explains, the difference is ki layit, when the kohen curses the woman, layit chila yerech v'hoder beten layit. He first curses the thighs and then curses the stomach, and that's because she first sins with the thighs and then the stomach, where the cursing is the beginning of her punishment. Now, umayi kibatke, however, when the water actually does its work after she drinks and it starts inspecting to see if she sinned or not, kiruchaya batke, it inspects the way that it travels. First it travels to the stomach and then to the thighs, so therefore it first causes the damage in the stomach and then it works its way in the thighs. Now, however, the Gemara asks, so fine, the first thing she sins with are the thighs, and therefore the first part of the punishment, which is the cursing, first mentioned is the thigh, then the stomach. Although in actuality, when the water actually works, it's stomach, then thighs. But B'klal HaNamik said, the thing is, even when she gets cursed, it also says first Latzbes Beden and then Miliampol Yarech, says first about the bloating of the stomach and then the thighs collapsing. So why do we pick when we're saying about the cursing is first thighs then stomach? Where even regarding the cursing, it does mention the other order too. And I think Mar says no. The order of the cursing is first thighs then stomach. Hahu, that pasig is the moidel kohen, is the kohen informs her, you should just know, the beten bereish of hod yerech. In actuality, what's going to happen is first the stomach is going to bloat and then the thighs are going to collapse. And the reason why he informs her, even though in the cursing we first do thigh then stomach, so that people shouldn't say rumors about the bitter waters, and they're going to say, oh, it didn't work the way you said it. You first cursed the thigh, and then you cursed the stomach. So we say that that's in regards to the cursing. But you're right, in actuality, how it's going to work, we tell her, as in actuality, that's what happens, is that first the stomach, and then the thighs. So the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about midah keneged midah, which is how a person sins. That's exactly how the retribution happens. So the Mishnah says, Shimshin holach achar einav. Shimshin followed after his eyes, which, as we'll learn later, that he desired something because of what he saw. Lefikach nakur polishim es einav. Therefore, the polishim, the Philistines, gouged out his eyes. Shnemak, it says the pasuk in shaved him. It says v'yechzuhu polishim, that the polishim grabbed a hold of him. V'yinakur es einav, and they poked out his eyes. So too Avshalom nizgo besayra. Avshalom, the son of David, was haughty. He held himself great because of his hair. That's why he was hung from his hair. And Ulafisha Baal, Esther Palaksha Oven, since he cohabited with the 10 concubines of his father, which is some type of like a half wife, whereas we find the Sefer Shmuel and Shmuel Beis Perek Tezvav that he left his wives, Vayazav Esther Noshim Palaksha Lishma Bais, he left, he had 10 concubines to watch the house, and Avshalom came and wanted to show that he's taking over, and he cohabited with them. That's why there were 10 spears that were put into him. Like it says in the Pasuk, in Shmuel Beis, it says, and the Girsa is Na'arim, as the Pasuk says, that there were 10 lads that surrounded Avshalom who were Noisei Klei Yoyev, that were holding the arms of Yoyev. And as the Pasuk there concludes, Vayaku es Avshalom, and that they smite him, they hurt him, and they killed him, which therefore each one put a spear in him. Again, each one for every Pelegish that he cohabited from his father. Now, moreover, Ulafisha Gun of Gimel Genevis, since he did 3 thefts, which is in the concept of Genevis Das, Genevis Halev, which is that he fooled Lev Aviv, fooled his father. The Lev Bezni stole the courts, he fooled the courts. The Lev Yisrael, and he fooled the Jewish people, where, as the Pasuk says, as Rashi quotes, he said to his father, he says, let me go and fulfill my oath. He was making a bogus story why he was leaving, what he was going to do. Now, it says that Avshalom went with him, were Masayim Ish Kruim, were 200 men, which were Chashub men from the Bezdin, that were called. And Vahalchim Latum, they went innocently with Avshalom. Now, the Yerushalmi in Saita explains that, what do you mean Kruim they were called? They were actually called from David. How so? It was because of David's commandment that they went with Avshalom. Because Avshalom said to David, he says, write for me, father, that 2 people, whoever I choose, should have to go with me. Now, he wrote for him. Now, but what Avshalom did was, and this was how he fooled his father, he was going to believe Aviv, is that he took David HaMelech's seal and showed it to 2 people. And they went with him. And they went to another 2 people and showed it to them until he gathered 200 men, and they were all Rashi Sanhedrois, which is how he stole Lev Bezdin. Now, moreover, is that he stole the Jewish people, because now the Jewish people said, look at me, I have 200 of Sanhedrin with me. Obviously, there's something going on there. Obviously, I'm the right one to take over my father. So he stole his father, the Bezdin, and the Jewish people's heart, Shanim, like it says in the Pasuk, Ve'iganav Avshalom esliv anshei Yisrael, that he fooled the Jewish people. Now, lefikach nitku by Gimel Shvatim, that's why there were three of these stabs that he stabbed with, Shanim, like it says in the Pasuk, in Shmuel Beis, says, Ve'yikach, that Yoyev took, Shleish Shvatim Mekapai, three spears in his hand, Ve'yiskim believe Avshalom, and he pierced them into Avshalom's heart. So up until now was where we're speaking about Mida Keneged Mida, that there's retribution exactly as the sin was done for bad. But V'chein Lin Na Taiva, the Mishnah says the same thing is regarding good deeds. Miriam Himtina La Moshe Sho'achas. Miriam waited for her brother Moshe. Just one moment, Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, when her mother put her son Moshe, Yecheved put Moshe into the waters because no Jewish male was allowed to stay alive. It says, that his sister stayed from afar to see what was going to happen with her baby brother. So lefikach, because she waited there by her brother, nis'akvo la Yisrael zayin yam b'midbar. So the whole Jewish people in the desert waited for her 7 days when she had tzaras. Shnei Malkit says, apostling in b'midbar, v'ha'am lo nasa di asa Miriam, that the people didn't travel until Miriam was gathered in back into the machna when she was done with her tzaras. Moreover, Yosef zacha likfres aviv. Yosef merited to bury his father, and there was no one greater amongst the brothers than Yosef because he was the king. Shnema, like it says in the Pasuk, V'yal Yosef likpres avim, that Yosef was the one that merited, he went to bury his father. And V'yal imay gam rechev gam parashim, and went with him all the horse and the chariots. So the measurement that he measured, where because of him, his father was buried with greatness, with nobility. So in that same measurement, Yosef himself was also buried by the greatest. Because Milano, who do we have to have been buried with greatness by great people, Godam and Yosef, more than Yosef, Shloi Nesasik, by Elam Moshe, that who was involved in the burial of Yosef's bones? The greatest Jewish person, which was Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no one greater than him. And the same thing that repeated itself. Moshe Zocha Ba'atzmas Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu merited to bury Yosef's bones, meaning he carried it out of Egypt, bringing it up to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'im B'Yisrael Godam, and there was no one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, V'yikach Moshe Atzmas Yosef Ima, that he took the bones of Yosef with him. So the measurement that he did in his kind deed, which was to bury Yosef through a great person, which was himself, so that same measurement he got back in return, because Mi Godam and Moshe, where do we find greater honor in his burial than Moshe? Shlein Nesasik Ba'elam Akim, that who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? None other than Hashem himself. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, V'yikper Oisei Bagai, that he was buried there in the valley, he just had Misas Neshika, the kiss of death, which was by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Mishnah says, Loyal Moshe Levadam, or actually on some level, it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Ela Akala Tzadikim, rather all righteous people are buried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shem, like says the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'holach Lefanecha Tzidkecha, that your righteousness goes in front of you, Kavayit Hashem Yasvecho, it's the honor of Hashem that will gather you in. So on some level, Hashem buries every righteous person. Now, Tana Ban Gulin Abraisa that explains the first thing mentioned in our Mishnah, Shimshon Be'ein of Marad. Shimshon, known as Shimshon HaGibor, well, he rebelled with his eyes. In other words, it's because of his eyes that he rebelled in his Creator. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, V'yemesh Shimshon Elavav, that Shimshon said to his father, Oysa Kachli, that woman I want you to take for me, Kihiyashra Be'ena, because she's fitting in my eyes. Lafika says the Braisa, therefore Nikra Polishtim, that's why the Polishtim poked out his eyes. Shlemak says in the Pasuk, V'yechzuhu Polishtim, V'yinakris Einav, that they grabbed a hold of him and they gouged out his eyes. Now, another thing we ask, is that really so? In other words, is this that he married this woman something that he had done inappropriately? But V'ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'av V'imah lo yadu, that his father and his mother didn't know, Kimi Hashem hu, that it was from Hashem that he so much desired this woman, he wanted that he should have an in with the Philistines, that he should be able to engage them in guerrilla warfare where, by the virtue of marrying this woman. So we see that it was Hashem's plan. So how can we say it was inappropriate that he wanted this woman and that's why he was punished with his eyes? So I think my answer is like many things that happen in the world. Ki azl miya basa yashru se azl. You're right. Everything is Hashem's plan. Hashem wanted this. But why did he do it? Was because she was fine in his eyes and that's inappropriate. Following his eyes, and that's why his eyes were gouged out. Tanya Lutna Braisim, Rabbi Aimer, he says, Tchilas Kalkula Ba'aza. The beginning of the of the downgrading of the righteousness of Shimshon was in Aza and Gaza. Lefikach loka ba'aza, therefore he was harmed in Aza. As the Brice explains, Tchilas kilkula ba'aza, the beginning of his kilkul, of his downfall, was in Aza, meaning spiritually. The chassid, like it says in the pasuk, v'yelech Shimshon Aza, so that Shimshon went to Aza. V'yarsham ishta zayin nebegoyme, he saw a woman, a prostitute, and like the pasuk says, v'yavela, he had relations with her. Now, lefikach loka ba'aza, therefore his downfall was in Aza. The chassid, like it says in the pasuk, v'yiridu oisa Aza, so that they brought him down to Aza, and that's when they harmed him. Now, not the pasuk, the Gemara asked, but v'ksiv v'yirid Shimshon Timnasa, but we find that Shimshon went down to Timna, meaning, and as the pasuk there says, that he saw a woman from the daughters of the Pelishtim, and Shimshon desired her. Now, this incident of Timnas was before the incident of Aza. So why was his downfall in Aza and not in Timna, which was before that? So that the Gemara answers, t'chilas kilkulay miha ba'aza haya. The beginning of his deterioration happened in Aza, meaning because that story in Timnas wasn't like a kilkul so much, because even though she was a Philistine woman, but he married her, and he didn't have relations with her in an act of znus, in out of wedlock. So therefore, but in Aza, where he was engaging with a zayna, that was already a kilkul, and therefore that was where his downfall was. Now the pasuk says in Shaftim, which where all these psukim are from, discussing Shimshon, says vayhi acher ken, it was after that. It says, V'yehav isha b'nachal sarik, that he loved a woman in Nachal Sarik, which is a reference to the third woman that is mentioned in Sefer Shaftim regards to Shimshon, V'shma Delila, and her name was Delila. Now, Tanya learned of Bryce, that Rebbe Omer, he says, Il moli nikr shma Delila, even if her name given at birth was not Delila, Ru'uya ha'isa shatikr Delila, it was fitting that her name should have still been called Delila. Why? Because Dildila is kaicha, from the word of Dildilda, which is that she uprooted his strength. Dildalas libay, she uprooted his heart. Dildalas myself, she disconnected his actions. Whereas the Gemara explains, Dildalas kaychei, that she pulled out his strength, like it says in the pasuk, but yeser kaychei me'olav, that suddenly, because of that, she had revealed his secret, so that it removed all the strength from him. Suddenly Shimshon lost all his superhuman strength he always had. Dildalas libay, she detached his heart. Like it says in the pasuk, but Tera Delila kihigilo es kol liboy, that Delila saw that he said everything in his heart. She totally pulled everything out of him. And Dildala as Maisav, she pulled out his actions, the astalik shchinim, meaning because his actions of tzidkis, that the divine presence removed itself from Shimshon. Like it says in the pasuk, the hula yada ke Hashem sar me'olav, and Shimshon didn't even know that Hashem had removed himself from him. Now, the Gemara quoted the pasuk, as we mentioned before, one of the things that she was Delila for, that she was Dildala as Liboy, was as the pasuk says, Vatera Delila kihigala as kol Liboy. That Delila saw that Shimshon spilled out all his heart. She totally pulled everything out of his heart. Now, on that, the Gemara asked, Mino Yoda, from where did she know? In other words, that's in context. She always used to pester him, what's the secret of your strength? What's the secret? Now, the thing is that he told her many times lies before that, and she then saw that everything that he had said was one big lie. How did she know at this time, when he told her that the secret of his strength is his naziris, that he was a nazir, that was really the truth? So Amar Bchan and Amar Rabbi, because nikar and divri emes, true words are recognizable because it just makes sense. It just settles in and everything fits in when you hear the truth. And as Rashi explains, because she suddenly noticed, wow, she put the pieces together. He has long hair. He never drinks wine. So she realized that what he had just told her was the truth, and that this is the source of his superhuman strength, and that's how she knew that this was the truth. Now Abaya says, Yadabai, a different reason was because Yadabai Ba'isit Tzadik, the Lemapik Shem Shemaim Lebatala. She knew regarding her husband, who was very righteous, that he didn't say the name of Hashem in vain. Now, Kivin the Amma, once he said, Nazir Likimani, that I am a Nazir of God, Amra Hashta Vadi Kurshakam said, oh, must be saying the truth, because he would never lie and say Hashem's name in vain. Now, the pasuk says in Shaftim, which was part of this whole repertoire that she had in trying to torment him, that he should tell her his secret of strength, it says, Vayihiki Tzikole Bidvarea Kol Yom, that when she would torment with all her words all the days, Veta Al Tsehu, which that's a term of pressing and pushing and tormenting. So, Maiva Tal Tseh, what was this great tormenting that she used to do to him? So Amir Yitzchok, the Bereb Ami, Yitzchok from the Yeshiva Rebbe Ami said, B'shas gemar bia, at the time of the conclusion of cohabitation, which is when the person's it's the climax of all his desires at that moment, nishmata mitachta. She would slip away from him and leave him there in a painful situation. That's what she used to do to him, again, to torment him, that he should tell her his secret. As we'll see, that was one of Shimshon's biggest taivas, was in this area of bia. Now the pasuk in Shaftim says earlier on, when it was told to his mother, before he was born, of Tzlal Fonis, where she was told that she's going to have a child, so she was told, Va'atihi Shamrina. Now, pay heed, be careful. Val tishti yain v'shecha, you shouldn't drink wine or hard drink. Val tachli kol tame, you shouldn't eat anything that's impure. So the question is, my kol tame, what does it mean, any impure thing? V'su, moreover, ad hashta dvarim tamim kachal, up until now she was eating impure things, what does it mean? Many times tame means not kosher. So now she shouldn't eat not tame, what does that mean? So Amr Bitzchak de Beir Abami, Bitzchak from the Yeshiva Abami, he said, it means dvarim ha'asur b'nazir. It's contextually, when it's called for don't eat anything that's tame, it means anything that's forbidden for a nazir. Meaning, specifically what that's coming to include is what's known as mishras anavim, which is, for example, if let's say a nazir takes grapes and he soaks in a water and it has just a flavor of wine, even that is, it's infused with the taste, even that's forbidden for a nazir. Meaning because, although he was told that regarding the halachas of a nazir, which already says mekolesha yasa megefen ayayin, even things which are not included in exactly a derivative from wine, where it just is infused with the taste of wine, even that she was told to refrain from eating, again, which was a modeling for what her son's going to be, a nazir shimshon. Now the pasuk says in Shaftim, v'yivka elikim es hamachdish, that Hashem broke open the hollow, which is the place of where there's a tooth, asher balechi, which is in the jaw of the donkey, which he had used to harm the Pelishtim, and from there out came water. Now, Amr Yitzchak Deber Bami, he says, who evil adavar tame? Shimshon desired something impure, which was to marry a non-Jewish woman. Lafikach nit l'chaya b'davar tame. That's why his life depended on something that's impure too, which was the jaw of the donkey, where if not for him drinking at that moment, which he davened to Hashem, he would have died from thirst, and Hashem made the miracle come from a davar tame again because he desired the davar tame. Now the pasuk in Shaftim says, "V'tachel ruach Hashem begemer." This is all in different places throughout Shaftim, referencing Shimshon. So it says that the spirit of Hashem began to come out. So begemer, etc. Amar b'chamer b'chanini says, "Chalsa nevuasa shel Yaakov Avinu." It's a reference that the prophecy of Yaakov Avinu was what began starting to come true. Which that's a reference what the pasuk means, ruach Hashem, the spirit of Hashem, which was the spirit of prophecy which rested on Yaakov. Except like it says in the brachas that he gave to his son, the Shvatim in Sefer Bereishis, says, "He dan nachash alei derech," says that dan will be like a snake along the road. That was a reference to Shimshon, who's going to be the downfall of the Pelishtim. Now it also says in Shaftim, "Lefa'amoy b'machna dan," to be like a palm in the camp of Dan, which is that Shavit, which is where Shimshon was. Amir Bitzchak Deber Ami says, "Malamet shoyse shchina mikashkeshes lavana." What this teaches is that the divine presence rang in front of Shimshon. In other words, it escorted him wherever he went, kizug, like a bell. Where ksev hacha lefamoy b'machna dan, here it says lefamoy in the camp of dan. Ksev hasma says a pasuk in Shemais, pamoin v'rimon, regarding the me'il on the bottom of that robe that the kohen gadol would wear, was pamoin, which was a bell and a pomegranate, which always rang when he walked. That's exactly what was by Shimshon, that when he would go, the divine presence, so to speak, was ringing in front of him. He was together with the Shekhinah. It also says over there, "Bein Tzara uvein Eshtoil." It says in Sefer Shaftim, between Tzara and Eshtoil. So Amar Basi says that Tzara ve'Eshtoil, Shnei Harm Gedolim Har. These were two great mountains. The Akra and Shimshon, v'tachin zebezeh, he uprooted these two huge mountains and grinded them one with the other. Another pasuk in Shaftim says, "V'hu yachil lo hishia es Yisrael," that he, meaning reference to Shimshon, will begin the salvation of the Jewish people. So Amar B'chama v'b'chanin, as we continue on top of Yoram and Aleph, here the drush of that pasuk says, "Huchel," which is a reference of beetle, it has been nullified, it will be nullified, "Shvu'aseh shel Avimelech," the oath that was made with Avimelech, who was the king of Pelishtim, with Avram Avinu, where here the reference of Huchel is actually the term of, like we find in Bamidbar Perek Lamed, "Lo yachel devarai," where a person cannot nullify his vow, that when it says that, "Behu yachil," it's actually that it's going to create a chilul, lo yachil, it's going to be mechal the shvua that was made between the Pelishtim. There's still, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, where Avshalom said to Avraham Avinu, "Im teshakar liu laninu lanechti, if you're going to lie to me, if you're going to do wrong to me, my children, and my grandchildren," that was suddenly batal, lashon of Yachel, in the times of Shimshon. And the reason being is because the Pelishtim were the ones that first transgressed this oath, because they were tormenting the Jewish people. It was supposed to be a truce, but once they did that, so that was why Avshalom, that's why Shimshon was able to go ahead and take revenge on them. Now another pasuk says, "V'yigdal hanar v'yibachir Hashem," that the youth, a reference to Shimshon, became big, and Hashem blessed him. So the question is, "Bama baruchu," with what did Hashem bless Shimshon? And as Rashi says, a seminal idea that every blessing that it mentions in the pasukim is an idea of increasing, something that increases and that one finds satiation in that. Now the question is, what blessing do we find by Shimshon? We don't find that Shimshon was wealthy. So what bracha did he have? So Amar Bihuda, Amar Rav, Shebarcha ba'amasa. He blessed him in his male member, where amasa kibnei adam, his member was like any other person, but vizare kenachol shaitev, that his semen that's sprouted forth like a stream, which is that was something that he desired. That was an important part of his life, which was part of his mission that Hashem wanted, and is in that area where he had an overabundance of an increase, as we'll see in the coming daf.